Church, why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to read the word. We're going to read out of the Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue on in the series, We the Church. Everybody say, We the Church. It just feels right. We the Church. How great would that be, like on a t-shirt? That would be a sick shirt, wouldn't it? Who would buy a shirt that just said, We the Church on it? It's kind of cool, right? It's like, you know what I mean? It's got some street cred. Right? It's just like, ooh, We the Church. We the Church. What does that mean? Like, ooh, they're down. They're hip. It also reaches, you know, a different demographic because, like, yes, We the Church. We comma the Church. Wow. What a multi-generational slogan. Praise the Lord. Joe, you backing me up on the keys? Thank you, sir. We're going to read out of Acts chapter 2. You guys can leave. My bald brothers, get out of here. Montre, I mean, you can at least stagger them, like, you know, put Marty between them. Give them a little bit of a dynamic there, but that's the hair side, and it's just like bald right here, praise God. It's better than bears, you know, like the Old Testament. Yeah, kids making fun of the prophet Elijah for being bald. He called down bears and killed them. I'm sorry, Lord. Acts chapter 2, here we go. we're gonna do some fun things. We're gonna do some things today, okay? And we're gonna kind of, one of my favorite accounts of just talking about the church is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says all the believers, can I get some believers in the house? All the believers. I just love that, the believers. You know, that's like my favorite way to call myself a Christian. So I'm a believer. All the believers devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. Come on. This is why God loves the South. We don't have dinner. We have supper. Amen? And to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I don't know about you, but I still believe in signs and wonders. I still believe in miracles. And all the believers, they met together in one place, Knuckles Road. They shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions. They shared the money with those in need, not begrudgingly or under compulsion. I added that part. Different passage. Right, Joe? Praise God. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Let's bring that back. No amens on that. They met in homes. We're doing that for the Lord's Supper. There it is again. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity all the while, praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added, to their fellowship, those who were being saved. I'm hoping to do that by the end of this service. We might add some people who are being saved. Okay? All right, cool. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, it is holy. It is divine. I pray that it would guide us even today. Lord, let it not be something that is, I don't know what's in people's minds. I don't know if some people think it's just some outdated thing for a different era. I don't. I think it's living, it is active, it is sharper than two-edged sword, Lord. Let this be a word that would help divide, God, our flesh nature from our spirit man. Let it be something that sharpens us, forms us, Lord Jesus, today, to be who you've called us to be, your church, your beautiful bride. Help us today, Lord, and somehow, some way that the preaching of your word today, the teaching of it, the instruction of it, it might help us to be a gathering of called ones that might please you, Lord. That's what we want to do. We just want to please you, Lord Jesus. I pray that the lost would be found today, Jesus, because I don't want to harbor any bitterness in my heart. We'll pray for the Kansas City Chiefs now, I guess. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Go ahead and give a high five. Grab your seat. Come on. I just don't want to harbor any bitterness. Amen? Yeah.
That's right. Praise God.
Hey, I'm going to hop in the Word, but can I just share what's been happening in my house, my home, my family? Cool. My daughter, my middle daughter, who's I have a 6 and a half, I have a 5-year-old, and I have a 3-year-old. Thank you. Thanks, Jules. So my 5-year-old, my middle child, Monroe, Robert or Roro for short, whatever you want to do, she accepted the Lord in her heart this week. Yeah. I know. I'm going to try to tell the story without crying, okay? And I'm going to put on this big smile to do it. So I wasn't there. Figures. Gosh. My wife was there. She was putting her to bed one of the nights when I was out this week. And right before she was putting her to bed, our daughter Monroe, she said, "Mommy, is Jesus in everybody's heart?" And my wife was like, "Well, everybody that wants Jesus in their heart, he is." And she was like, "Mommy, I want Jesus in my heart." And I was like, Megan was like, "Are you sure?" she's like, "You know what this means? Like, you know, you're gonna have to grow closer to him. You're gonna have to follow him, right? You're gonna serve him." And she says, "Yeah, I want that. I want it." And she's like, "Okay, well, listen, we can pray and say this prayer." And she led my daughter in the sinner's prayer. And then after she said amen, talk about the reality of the goodness of God. After she said amen, she said, mommy, it's like Jesus is clapping for me in my heart." Take me now, Lord. Like, what? And then they began to talk about Jesus for like the rest of the night. And now if we can just get my oldest saved, praise God. That was the joke I planned to share today. In worship, I'm right there. And my oldest, she said, "Daddy, did you know Monroe prayed Jesus in her heart this week?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Daddy, I want that." And so I led her in the prayer during worship today. How cool is that? This is what happens when we skip a week of church. I don't like it. Praise God. So, you know, God is good. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Can we get to the Word? All right, praise God. We the church. Amen? I love this. This passage talks about how the believers, they were devoted. They devoted themselves. And we're going to break down today, in the short time we have together, what they were devoted to. The what is the teaching of the apostles, the instruction from the apostles. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking bread, supper. Can I get an amen? That's one of the easy ones to be devoted to. Praise God. Devoted to supper, hallelujah. Devoted to prayer, to praise and worship. But before you talk about the what, you talk about this word, devotion, and it informs how we're to be to these things. It's not just the what, it's the how. It's the spirit of devotion. I'm sold out for it. I'm all in. I'm 100 about it. And this original word, devotion, the original word is this word. It's proskartareo. Proskartareo. It means to be steadfast, to be constant, to persevere, to not faint. And when I think about what the mark of a Christian walk ought to look like, it is those words, and it gets me passionate. It gets me fired up that we should be steadfast in the Scriptures. We should be constant in our commitments to Christ. Come on. I'm bringing alliteration to the table this morning, y'all. It should be persevering in our passion for God. It should be not fainting in faith. Can I get an amen? that when you look at the early church, when you look at what the church is supposed to be, there's no such thing as casual Christianity. Casual Christianity is a Christian casualty. That's what I like to say. There's no fair weather believers. There's just no if I can, maybe I will, whether it be rain, whether it be sleet or snow, unless the church says that we're not having services. We are devoted. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? So let's talk about it. Spirit of devotion, but what were they devoted to? First thing, we're going to fly. First thing is they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and instruction. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and instruction, the teaching of God's word, God's truth. And they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And we take for granted, I think, that God has designed for us in this New Testament age, the church age, that we are to be devoted to the teaching from the people that God has appointed to lead and to teach and to preach and to shepherd over us. Can I get an amen? Okay, let's step on some toes today, okay? Because in the Old Testament, God had a habit. Yes, he did use prophets. He did use people of God to bring forth messages and the word of the Lord, right? But he would often just show up on the scene. I mean, he would speak directly through to people through a burning bush or just as a voice up on high. But instead, we see in this church, in this New Testament, God now decided, hey, I'm going to use sinful people like pastors. Yeah. If it were me, I would have kept it going with just like, God, just why don't you just speak to us? But he doesn't. And this is God's way. And we see there in Acts chapter 2, this is a people who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, able to hear from the Lord themselves, amen, through the presence and infilling of the Holy Spirit. And yet, it says that the church was devoted to the teaching and the instruction of the apostles. To be this church with this kind of devotion to the teaching and the instruction of the apostles, it means this, that you do not get to live by your own moral compass. To be a church that is devoted, we the church. It means if we're going to follow in the will and the ways of the church paradigm, it shows us is that we don't just get to live according to our own moral compass. Now, we can have different convictions, but we must walk in the same obedience. And we live in an age where everyone is right in their own eyes. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got really pretty eyes. You got really pretty eyes. I remember not too long ago, someone came to me and said, Pastor, I've heard from God, heard from the Holy Spirit, that I'm supposed to leave my spouse. Okay. I said, okay. I said, what? And he says, yeah, I'm going to do it. I've heard from God. And I says, well, you know, there's very few allowances for divorce in Scripture, so we're going to need to talk about that. And he says, no, it's right. I've heard from God. God told me. Now, if you have somebody who drops the God told me card, to me, if someone who's always dropping the God told me, instant red flag. All the red flags, right? It's just like that's one of the biggest red flags to spiritual immaturity that you might run across, the God told me card. Because how do you argue with God? How do you lead someone through, well, God told me? First of all, let's just throw this out there. God's preceding voice will never contradict his written word. Now, I will say this. If you don't know, now you know. We're a spirit-filled church. So I do believe in the proceeding word of God that can speak in and through our lives and in our midst. Amen? I'm for that. But here's the thing. God will never contradict himself. Now another time someone said, Pastor, I want to meet with you. I want to tell you something. And he opened by saying this. I don't want you to try to change my mind. Okay. And then he begins to tell me all these things. Now, I'm not going to say what, but it's the troubling part for me was how he opened up and saying, I want to tell you this, but I don't. Okay, there it is. I'm just going to out him. He's back there right now. He's running sound. I'm just kidding. And so the Trump part was just saying, I don't want you to change my mind. It's another way of saying your input doesn't matter to me. Another way of saying I don't want to submit to godly leadership in my life. Dangerous place to be. Because when we see what it means to be a disciple, it means that you're devoted to the teaching and instruction of godly leadership. Now, some of the ways that God uses leaders in the church is shepherding, spiritual covering, care. But also God uses church leaders for leadership, for discipline, and for order. One amen. Can I get two? Can I get three? Amen. I don't know how long this series is going. I think we're going to wrap it up next week. But it would have been great to do a whole Sunday on church discipline, right? And here's what I know about the spirit of this age is that it's way more in vogue to pull down anyone who steps up to the mantle of leadership. It's just way more in vogue. It's just cooler, right? It's just cooler. It's just way cooler to just, we have leaders, let's just drag them down. Let's pull them down. Yeah, they're stepping up to lead. Yeah, they're answering the call. Yep, they're serving. Yep, let's pull them down because it's just way easier. When I was began preaching and pastoring, which is 10 years as of this year, I sensed that there's been a shift a little bit, even in the church, even in the people of God. Because a common refrain I used to hear some 10 years ago was I'd preach a word, and then afterwards I would very regularly hear, Pastor, dang, stepped on my toes today. Kind of hurt. Actually, it kind of hurt. I'm actually bleeding on the inside. But you know what? I needed that. That was good. I don't hear that anymore. It's like we've lost the appetite for devotion to sound teaching and hard truths. And as I think about we, the church, we are a humble people, we are a servant people, and we are a devoted people. I ask you, church, do you still have a teachable spirit? I ask you, church, are you still a pleasure to lead? Are you still able to be instructed? Have you ever considered that you've yet to have it all figured out? It's some kind of arrogance to arrive and think, I've got it all figured out now. I don't believe we'll have it figured out this side of heaven, personally. Yet, I feel like more and more I run into people who tell me they've got it all figured out. And one of my favorite sayings is this, the moment you think you got it all figured out, go ahead and unpack your bags, because you're not going to be going anywhere for a while. But what we see as a byproduct of the church's devotion to the apostles' teaching, instruction, and of leadership is this in verse 43. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. To me, for this, there is a direct correlation between this kind of devotion and the outworking of miraculous signs and wonders. We, the church. Second thing I see that they were devoted to was to fellowship. You can go ahead and breathe again. To fellowship. The church is driven by the conviction that it is not good for man to be alone. Amen? Now, God expects you to be a part of a faith family. In fact, to me, a Christian without a church family is a contradiction. That it just wasn't a thing. Like, you look in the entire pattern of Scripture, there's just no such thing as solo Christians. It's not a reality. It's just not a thing. If you were the first Christian, maybe first believer in a particular area or whatever, or you got saved and then you were going back to your homeland, you know what the very next thing that you're responsible for is? Going and making more Christians. Seriously. Come on. And all the parents in Wave Church said, the first thing that we're responsible for now is making more Christians. Hallelujah. That should be a bumper sticker. Wave Church, making more Christians. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this: for just as each of you has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. This is how God views Christians, as a part of the family of God. Each of us belonging to one another as members of one body. Turn to your neighbor and say, I belong to you. Come on, turn to your other neighbor now who didn't turn to you and just say, no, actually, you belong to me. Go ahead, say that. It's way weirder. It's way creepier. And yet somehow it's still true. It's still true. Praise God. The design for our church and belief is that as we grow bigger, we want to also grow smaller. That we want to see the benefits of godly community outworked. And the truth be told is that all of the rich benefits of being a part of God's family, to be honest, you're not going to find them outworked here in the gathering of the Sunday service. And so here's where people get disappointed or disillusioned, is like they come into a church service and they come to a few church services for a handful of times and they're like, man, I don't know, I'm not finding fulfillment in it. Well, you don't have the right understanding of what's happening here. Because you're not going to see in the gathering, the corporate gathering of a Sunday service, you're not going to see all the benefits and blessings that God has for you and wants you to have through the family of God. You're just not going to see it on Sunday. You're going to see it in the gathering in homes, in the hanging out after service. Today is not about you getting your fulfillment relationally. Today is about glorifying God. Today is about equipping the saints. Today is about proclaiming the gospel so that the lost may be found. It's about all those things. And so you come into church and people think, I don't know, I just didn't feel like belonging. Well, did you go to a community group? No, I just came to church on Sunday. Oh, okay, cool. I went to Taco Bell, asked for a Big Mac. And this principle of this belonging to each other, it's woven through the Scriptures. There are 50-plus examples of this phrase, one another or each other, in the New Testament that flesh out what community is supposed to be. And so in John, I'm going to fly through some of them. In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, love one another. In Colossians 3:13, it says, forgive each other. Come on, if you're here with your spouse, look them in the eye and just say, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Come on. Now listen, the other person, you have to do it. It's a command from the Lord. It says forgive each other. You have to do it. Hallelujah. This is why you need to bring your spouse to church every Sunday. You might get a get-out-of-jail-free card. Praise God. Philippians 2:1 says, regard each other more highly than yourselves. Dear God, help us with that one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, teach and correct each other. Come on, turn to someone and say, there's been something I've been meaning to correct in you. We don't want that anymore. Please, don't correct me. I don't want that. I don't want correction. What? Who wants that? I know, the Bible says do it. Encourage each other, Hebrews 10:25. Pray for each other, James 5:16. Bear each other's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Honor one another, Romans 12. Care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12:25. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5:18. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to submit to you. I really hope you're with your spouse today or someone you like, because it's a fun turn to your neighbor kind of a day. This list, it just scratches the surface, but it's enough to remind us that we need to be devoted to fellowship. We need devotion to the fellowship, to the faith family, if we are going to grow up in Christ. If we're going to grow up in Christ. If we're going to move beyond just the baby milk. People always think moving on to the meatier things is like knowledge. No, it's not. You could have all the knowledge of the word and still... What? That's a goat. That's not a baby. Wah. I literally almost did a goat sound. Bah. That's not what babies sound like. I should know. I'm a dad. I'm human. The mature things, the weightier things, come on, it's this stuff. This is the stuff. So as a church, we want to be devoted to fellowship like the Bible shows the church should be. Right now, on this Sunday, we are launching 35 community groups this Sunday. Can all of our community group leaders stand up? Come on, all of our CG leaders. Come on, clap it up for all of our CG leaders. Give it up for them. I think we got a slideshow. Praise God. That's a slideshow. Stay standing, CG leaders. Every time someone says slideshow, I get like flashbacks to like being at your friend's house who just got married, and they're like, hey, you want to see our slideshow from the wedding? I was like, I really don't. Really don't. Yeah, I do. So we got all kinds of community groups happening, all kinds of, like, I think literally every day of the week except Sunday, because that's the gathering of the saints, every single day. So look around, you know, find someone that you think, you know what, I feel like I could vibe with them, and just go up to them after service and just say, tell me about your community group. Amen? Because this, CGs, come on, that's where the fellowship good stuff grows. Amen? Clap it up for the CG leaders. Sit down. Yeah, you can sit down. Seriously, that's our heart. We're launching them today. You can hit the ground floor of the launch of these CGs. You don't want to miss it. Number three, we see the church was devoted to serving one another. Fellowship is not to be underestimated, right, in the Christian life, but the church isn't just a social club. It's the holy gathering of the saints. And so we see the picture of how the saints lived. In verse 4:4, it says they met together in one place. It's funny how, like, when people start talking about, like, well, can't we just, like, meet in homes? It's like, yeah, you can. But, like, the principle of first mention in the New Testament of church is that they met in homes and they all met together in one place. It's both and. Amen. So to me, I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that's either or. I'd want to be a part of a church that's both and. Okay, just me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, this is as Peter says, the end of the world is coming soon. Oh my gosh, I got to reread this. He says this in verse 7, the end of the world is coming soon. Did y'all see that Netflix movie? You did? I fell asleep. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, what? Continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Carefully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And God has given you this gift as a great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping? Well, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Peter is saying the world is about to come to an end. Have you ever thought about what you would do if the world was about to come to an end? Like you find out, yo, the world's about to be over soon, y'all. What are you going to do? What would you do? What would you do? Seriously, who's ever thought about it? Right? You're like, okay, my last days, here's what I would do. I'll make sure my mom made me some sinigang because I would definitely want some of that stuff before I go. Like, who's ever thought about their last meal? Right? You haven't? Wow, you're a saint. He's saying the world, it's coming to an end. What do you do when you have the end of the world in mind? He says, pray. Love each other. Share your home and your food. And ultimately, serve one another. He says the last days are coming, so what you need to do ultimately is serve each other. And as a church, we're passionate about everyone who calls Wave Church home to be a part of serving. Not because we've got some quota to hit, but because the Bible says that's what the church is supposed to do. He says when we serve one another, it brings glory to God. When we serve, it brings glory to God. And he's chosen to continue his work on earth through the church. It's not just a social club. It's not just fellowship, though. That's spiritual. The church is the hands and the feet of Jesus to this world. That the picture of a church that serves one another is a witness. It is glory to God. And it is great. We just considered Martin Luther King Day recently, and in his sermon, The Drum Major Instinct, he has one of his most famous quotes towards the end of that sermon, and this quote is this: everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. Dang, that rhymed. Way to go, MLK. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul regenerated by love. I want to serve God. I want to serve God's people. I want to build a dwelling place for God by the Spirit together. And the truth is this, church, I don't want a pastor. Some introspective, all we do is sit around, deconstruct our faith over some coffee kind of church. I want my life to count. I want our church to make a difference. I want to serve each other. I want to build God's house. I want to serve something bigger than just me and mine. I want to plunder hell. I want to populate heaven. If you're with me, give God some praise. Number four, we're winding down. Worship team, why don't you come on up here? They're devoted to breaking bread, the Lord's Supper. I spoke with some of our leaders, and one of our leaders illuminated the truth that Jesus was known to do miracles over some food. Can I get an amen? So, like, when you break bread, it's spiritual. And I think, actually, God designed us that way. You need to get in a community group, y'all. And if your community group leader doesn't have food there, go to a different group. Forget that group. Bump that. This group ain't spiritual enough for me. There are no Hot Pockets here. When's the last time you had a Hot Pocket, for real, though? When's the last time you had a Hot Pocket? Hot Pocket, right? They were devoted to breaking bread. Breaking bread. Because I think God created us with this truth that food brings us closer together. Host team, why don't you go ahead and pass out the elements? I want to encourage everybody. Do you hear me? I'm saying this for the first time ever. I want everybody to grab one of these little cups with Jesus juice and bread in it. Everybody. Don't care who you are. Don't care where you came from. I don't care what your name is, who your mama is, grab one of these cups, and we're going to pass it around, okay? I think it's just how God made us. So, in verse 46 out of Acts 2, it says that we're told that they continuing daily with one another in the temple and in homes, they broke bread from house to house, and they did eat their food with gladness and with singleness of heart. One of the great byproducts. Don't open it. This is like Christmas, y'all. Don't open it. Erica, Liz. Wow. That's a reflection of your leadership, ma'am. That is a reflection of your leadership. Hold it. Put it back. Put it back in there. Put it back and then, you know, hold the top down. Because Jesus is known to come back, you know, praise God. And one of the things I love out of communion is that it unites us. It brings us together. It's one of the things that the Lord had in mind when he says, do this in remembrance of me. And what I love to think about is that the early church, they were so close. They were just on the backside of the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, and yet they practiced it because they didn't want to forget what Jesus did on the cross. How much more is it vital for us, some 2,000-ish years removed from it, that we continue on in this manner? We're going to take communion in a second. After we consider the very last devoted thing that they were, and that was to prayer, to praise, and to worship. It was one of the last mentioned functions of the early gathering church, but it was not the last in priority. In fact, it was arguably of the highest priority. That verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, men homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And so we're going to put this into practice today. We're going to praise him. We're going to worship him. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper afterwards together. And we're going to pray for anybody who has not received the Lord as their Savior to do so.